Recording, and we are live. Okay, Erev Tov Lekulam, good evening. It's so nice to see you all here. I want to thank Brigitte and Ari in Abstentia for hosting this beautiful event with the food, and really this is the way to prepare for Chanukah, and this bayit should be filled with Torah on a regular basis. And we miss you, Ari, very much. Ari, we miss you very much. Nachon.
We'll Skype with him.
Nachon.
I do want to thank you, Yehuda, for
sure. Thank you, Yehuda.
He called and said to me, I'm going to bring food.
Is he coming?
Call a kavod. Okay, afem od. And I also want to make mention, Vivian and Morton, this shiur dedicated to Ilui Nishmat Yaakov. Just, you have his full name, Yaakov?
Nisim.
Ben?
Yosef.
Ben Yosef, and this should be Lilui Nishmato, and we know that you guys you've had a very tough, challenging week, but it's really beautiful to have you here, and hopefully the lights of Chanukah will bring you some comfort and light for the coming few months. Okay, so we have a very ambitious task in front of us here. As you see, I made a pretty serious source sheet, done a lot of research on this topic. To study Chanukah in the halachic thought of Rabbi Yosef Meisas. And we're going to do a number of different things. We're going to study one particular area of halacha, one particular question, which I'll tell you what that is in just a second. And then we'll also learn a little bit about Rabbi Yosef Meisas, something about his biography, which I had never knew until now, and I'll share with you a little bit about what that is. And then we'll see some of the customs. He has a long piece. Someone asked him to tell... to write zichronot, to write memories. What was it like growing up in Mechnes in Morocco? What was it like to celebrate Chanukah? How did the community celebrate? It has this extensive commentary and explanation exactly what they did in Mechnes in Morocco. Is anyone here's family? Anyone have family here from Mechnes originally? Any? Berdugo, okay. So you'll have to pass this on to Berdugo. But of course, many of these customs are true for many Moroccans and North African Jews and for Sephardim in general. And even some Ashkenazim, right, Scott? We are the topic I want to address tonight, which we'll start with is, you know, you see this all over town. In my own building, there's a Christmas tree, okay, and there's a Chanukiah, okay, and you see this in many of the shops, a Christmas tree and a Chanukiah. Okay,
sorry, can I say something? There's someone Israeli that had it in a home. That's like unexpected.
Really? Yeah,
posing
yeah.
Posing next to Christmas tree.
Okay.
And yeah.
Well, that's not the question I'm addressing. I'm addressing specifically, and now you'll notice that these Chanukiot are usually electric, right? They're plugged into the wall, and each night they turn, they turn the bulb a little bit, and then it turns on one night, two nights, eight nights.
It's a miracle.
Yeah, it's a miracle, okay? And the question is, are you allowed to use an electronic Chanukiah to light your... to light your Chanukiah, is that okay to use an electric one?
For the mitzvah
now,
or just to display?
For the mitzvah of Chanukah.
Are you talking
instead of putting out a regular Chanukiah with some wax or some oil, whatever it is, olive oil, whatever you're planning on using, can you use an electric Chanukiah?
Okay.
From the start.
You can only have it in
the okay. Okay, now from the start, and just realize, I mean, there may be a real value to this. I mean, even if not l'chatchila, what about just b'diavad? What about, you know, not ideal, but in hospitals, right? I remember in dorms at university, there was a big problem with lighting a Chanukiah, right? It's a big problem. You walk out, you leave. So this may be ideal in those types of situations. Yes. So is this permitted? This is the question which we're going to address. We're going to start from the beginning of the Talmud. We'll go through some halachic sources through the Middle Ages. We'll get to Chacham Ovadia of Ovadia Yosef. And then we'll get to Rabbi Yosef Meisas. And we'll see how he rules about this issue. That's going to be the first piece, this halachic piece. And we'll see there will be some practical ramifications. So let's look at Talmud Bavli Masachat Shabbat Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Okay, this is the first source at the top here. Now, you'll notice that Chanukah, the holiday, doesn't have its own... section in the Talmud. Okay, where does this discussion about how to light the Chanukiah come up? It comes up connected to another discussion, which is how do you light? Anyone know what? How do you light Shabbat candles? Right? How do you light Shabbat candles? And there's a discussion: what types of wicks and oil can you use for Shabbat candles? Anybody know when we read about this? We do this on a weekly basis.
Shabbat.
When do we read about this? With what are you allowed to light Shabbat candles, and what wicks are you not allowed to use for Shabbat candles? So, what types of things are you not allowed to use for Shabbat candles? Well, you can't use anything that's going to smell bad. Anything that has a bad smell, okay, because it's supposed to be beautiful. It's supposed to be the Chvod Shabbat, to create Shalom Bayit. And if it smells in the home, everyone's going to be upset and get angry at the Shabbat table. There's going to be fighting. No one's going to get along, okay? The other thing that's a concern is a light which is going to go out easily. What's the concern about a light? Let's say the wick keeps coming out of the oil. What do you do? What are you going to do if there's a wick that keeps coming out of the oil? You're going to try to fix it. And what's the problem with fixing it on Shabbat? You're doing melacha. You're not allowed to fix this on Shabbat. Okay? So the question is, do these two parameters, these two criteria apply when it comes to Hanukkah? Right? Now, again, on Shabbat, the candles are meant for our use. Right? We're supposed to derive benefit from the Shabbat candles. But Hanukkah, are we allowed to derive benefit from the candles? So these are the questions that are addressed in this Gemara. So let's look at our Gemara, okay? Well, let's just jump right away to number two. There are going to be three opinions.
By the way, there's many more packets here, so...
there are more packets. Okay, yeah, so pass them around. This is a very text-based shiur, so try to follow along if you can. If you have questions, feel free to ask. And you can take this home, so feel free to take notes. So we have three different opinions about whether... what types of wicks and candles you can or might use on Shabbat and Chanukah. So we're number two. Amar Rav Huna, pitilot, this is underlined, pitilot u'shmanim shamru chachamim ein mandikin bahen b'Shabbat, ein mandikin bahen b'Chanukah. The same candles that you cannot use on Shabbat, you may not use on Chanukah. Bein b'Shabbat, bein b'chol, whether the night of Chanukah falls out during the week, or on Shabbat.
But you cannot.
You cannot. Right. This is the first amendment. The same candles that you cannot use on Shabbat, you may not use on Chanukah. There is a similarity, a parallel between Shabbat and Chanukah, according to the first opinion. What's the reason for this? Okay. So, Amarava, my time at the Rav Huna, Kasavar, Kavata Zakuk, Lamutar, Lishtamesh, Leora. The logic behind this is that the reason that you could use candles, that you cannot use these candles on Chanukah, the same ones you can't use on Shabbat, it, because we say kabata zakukla. Kabata zakukla means that if the candles go out on Chanukah, you have to relight them. Right. And if you have to relight them, what does that mean? You have to use really good candles. Just like on Shabbat, when we use good candles. Okay? That are not gonna move around so that you don't perform a melacha. And also mutar lihishtamesh l'ora, because you can use the candles for Chanukah, therefore, if you're allowed to use it, we're concerned that you're going to play around with it, okay? Or it's going to, you'll need, if it goes out, there's going to be a problem. So this is why you need good candles. So the same candles that you cannot use on Chanukah, that Shabbat you cannot use on Chanukah. Yeah, question?
What's the problem with doing a melacha on Chanukah?
Yeah. No, so there's no problem with doing a melacha on Chanukah. Just the concern is that the candle might go out. And if it goes out and you already went out, you left your home, you're not going to then relight it. You're going to forget to relight it. So that's the concern. Okay, that's the first opinion. Rav Chisda then says, "Madikin bahen b'chol, aval lo b'Shabbat." Okay, so Rav Chisda has this in-between opinion that you can use the Shabbat, the candles that you may not use on Shabbat. You could use that during the week on Chanukah, but you can't use that on Shabbat. Kasavar kavata in zakukla mutar lishtamesh l'ora. Okay, now the third opinion, the most important opinion. Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Matna, Amrila, Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav. Pitilot u'shmanim shamru chachamim ein madikin bahen b'Shabbat, madikin bahen b'Chanukah. The candles that you're not allowed to use on Shabbat because we're concerned the light will go out, you may use these on Chanukah. What's the reason? The reason is kasavar kavata ein zakukla. If the candles go out on the Chanukiah, you don't need to relight them. And furthermore, asur lihishtamesh le'ora. You may not derive benefit from the Chanukiah, from the candles of the Chanukiah. And therefore, because you're not going to use it, okay, so it doesn't matter that the candles don't need to be such good candles, okay? Because if it goes out, you're not going to say, I need to, fix it or something. So
it's interesting. It's a machloket that you cannot use. We know we cannot use the light from the
No, that's only according to this opinion. Nachon. So only according to this opinion. Now, what do we do because of the concern that someone might come to use the candle of the Chanukiah? What do? We add a shamash. A shamash not only helps us to light everything else, but it's also saying, hey, well, if I am sitting and reading, I'm really deriving benefit from the shamash and not from the other candles. Okay, it's a little bit of a halachic loophole, but it works. Okay, we like halachic loopholes sometimes. Okay, so these are the three different opinions. Let's see how we rule la halacha. Okay, and for this we go to the Rambam, Maimonides. The Rambam lived in 12th century Spain, and then he moves to North Africa. So it also fits in with the North African spirit of the night. Okay, let's see what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, "Kol hashemanim, kol hapetilot kesherot lener Chanukah. All types of wicks and shemen. Shemen is oil. Are permitted to light the Chanukiah. Can anybody think of like some wild materials a person might consider using?
Shoe polish. They use that in the construction camp.
Ah, okay. Wow. Yafeh mod. Shoe polish. Okay. Wow. Okay. Shoe polish is good to know that it's flammable. Okay. We saw Liora built this Chanukiah out of plastic, right? If in theory, if she wanted to use that, you could burn the plastic. Okay. It might not smell so good, but you would be permitted to do that as well. Kol hashmanim kol haptilot kishul haner Chanukah. V'afa bi she'en hashmanim nimshachim achar haptila. Even if, you know, sometimes the shemen doesn't, you know, go up into the wick, you know, gets cut off. Ve'ena ornit let yafeb otan apetilot. And the wick doesn't hold the candle so well. Vafilu b'leil Shabbat shebetoch yimei Chanukah. Even on Shabbat, mutar lahadik bishmanim upetilot she'asur lahadik ben ner Shabbat. You can use any types of wicks or candles, even the ones that are prohibited for Shabbat. Okay? That's the Rambam. Seems like all types are permitted. Now, we're starting to think about this question. What about an electric Chanukiah? Okay? What do you think? Would the Rambam say you're allowed to use an electric Chanukiah? Why not? Is your name Nina?
Nancy.
Okay, yeah. Nancy?
I'm just thinking about the miracle of the oil.
Ah. Okay, you need a miracle? Yeah, right? The miracle wasn't with electricity. That would be really interesting if that's... That would explain the miracle.
Let's say it's incandescent or fluorescent or LED.
I think.
Okay, that's a good question as well. Should we distinguish
and
between
also
these things?
Yeah. Is the lighting of a candle an electric light? Is it considered fire?
Ah, okay. So that's an important question too. Good.
Can I say what I
good? Mean? Sure. Yeah.
I think you can have it additionally, like to put in your window for display, but not in place of.
Ah, not
unless
in place
it's
of.
It's dangerous, like you said.
Ah, interesting.
If you're a student, you leave in dorm.
Okay.
Yafeh.
Very interesting. Okay. So we're going to get to all these different issues. So now, how does the Shulchan Aruch rule? Shulchan Aruch written by Rav Yosef Karo. Anyone know where it was written? What city was the Shulchan Aruch in Tzfat, okay? If you've ever visited Tzfat, that blue ceiling, the shul with the Beit Knesset with the blue ceiling, that was the Beit Knesset of Rabbi Yosef Karo. He spent 30 years writing the Shulchan Aruch in Tzfat. So he writes, and very often he'll quote the Rambam. Let's see if he does that. Kol hashmanim v'apetilot kisherim lener Chanukah. All the candles, all the shemen, and the wicks are kasher v'ner Chanukah. V'aval pi she'enon shmanim nimshachim achar petila, even though sometimes, you know, the wicks and the candles don't work so well. So far, it seems like he rules exactly like the Rambam. But let's see Rav Moshe Isserles. Rav Moshe Isserles is the Ashkenazi. He adds glosses to the Shulchan Aruch. This is for the Ashkenazim. Okay, he's in 16th century Poland, in Krakow, Poland. So Haggah, you see Haggah, it's like a note. Umiyu shemen zayit mitzvah min amuchar. It's true. You can use all different types of wicks or candles, but you should use shemen zayit. That's mitzvah min amuchar, it's ideal. Okay, why shemen zayit? Anyone want to take a guess?
Olive oil.
Why olive oil? Because that was that's the miracle. V'im ein shemen zayit matsui, if you don't have shemen zayit, mitzvah bishmanim she'oran zach v'naki, you should use materials that create a clear a light, okay, that illuminates well. V'noagim b'midinot edu, our custom in these countries, what are these countries?
Ashkenaz.
In Poland. Well, this is in Poland already. Right. Okay, in Poland, in Russia, lahadlik b'ner shel she'ava, to light with
wax.
Wax, exactly. Why? To use wax. Ki oran salul kimo shemen. It's just as strong, just as clear and luminescent as shemen. What do you think is the reason that Ashkenazim started using wax? What do you think?
You don't have olive trees.
Okay, you don't have olive trees in Eastern Europe. That's true. What else?
It might have been cheaper.
Much cheaper. That's what I would imagine also. It was probably much cheaper than olive oil. Olive oil is still expensive today. All the more so you can imagine how expensive it was back in the day. Okay.
But I have a question. So sure. Electricity in Hebrew is chashmal, which is, like, the word only appears one time.
Yechezkel.
Yeah. So, like, is it possible that what we now refer to as electricity does have some sort of, like, Tanakh manifestation to, like, make it acceptable? I mean, because it was, like, he describes as, like, white flashing light, which is what you get with a spark, right? So
interesting.
Because of the fact that the word is the same, you know what I mean?
That's a very creative idea. I don't think any sources say that, but we'll see. We'll see if we can fit it into something that's in some of the sources here. Okay, let's now move to Chacham Ovadia, Rav Ovadia Yosef, who was the former chief rabbi of Israel from I think 73 to 83, and of course he was a great posek for all the Sephardim. And let's see what he says about this issue. So Sheila, this is Yechavedat. If I'm not mistaken, these teshuvot were given on the radio.
Yep.
So he rolled off these answers on the radio, quoting hundreds of sources. It's unbelievable. Okay, he was like a machshev. He was like a computer. Okay. So sheila, ha'im yecholim latzeit yidei chovat hadlakat neirot chanukah yidei hadlakat chanukiah chashmalit? Can you use an electronic chanukiah? In the Beit Knesset, what about in the Beit Knesset? Now, why is the question, he says in the Beit Knesset, can you light a Chanukiah? Why would the Beit Knesset be different than a regular lighting of the Chanukiah?
There's a safety issue once people leave.
Okay, maybe there's a safety issue.
You go home and light your own.
Okay, so what are we getting at? You're lighting at home anyway, so what does that mean?
You'd say whatever.
Okay. The way the mitzvah is formulated in the Gemara is ner ishuveta, okay? It's a chovat habayit. It's an obligation in one's home, okay? So why do we light in the Beit Knesset? It's nobody's home, okay? I mean, it's all of our homes, but it's nobody's home, okay? Why is that? Why do we light in the Beit Knesset? Okay, for some people, okay, yafeh, for the aniyim, people who might not be able to light, people who might not light properly, okay? Also, the pirsume nisa, to publicize the miracle. Okay, there are many people. There are supposed to be many people on the Beit Knesset on time for lighting the Chanukiah. Okay, so it's lefarsim to publicize the miracle, and also, you know, there is a little bit of a change that in the Middle Ages already. I mean, they even say this in the Gemara a little bit, but in times of persecution, we no longer light the candles on the outside of the home. Okay, we're supposed to generally light it on the outside. You have the mezuzah on one side, the Chanukiah on the other. Okay. But we don't light it outside in times of persecution. Okay, and the Rama even writes this explicitly. Outdoors. You don't even light it by the windowsill. You don't light it so that anybody could see. Where do you light it in times of persecution? In the home, on the kitchen table. Okay, so if everyone's lighting in the kitchen table, what type of pirsume nisa is that? Okay, you know, nowadays we live in the city, so maybe your kitchen table could be seen by everybody in your apartment building, okay? But it wasn't, you know, it was a little bit different then, okay? So lefarsem et hanes yoter, we do it in the Beit Knesset as well. A number of different reasons. So that's a question, this is why it's a different question for the home as well as the Beit Knesset, okay? So Rav Avadia is going to go through, I tried to number these in an organized way, the different issues that might arise, and some of these you guys voiced yourselves, okay? So yafesh shekivantem. So number one, ve'omnam, Hagaon Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis, Beshut Beit Yitzchak. I have a feeling this person is Ashkenazi. Doesn't sound like a Sephardi name to me. Okay, so Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis in Shut Beit Yitzchak, Katav, she'en yotzim yidei chovat ner Chanukah lo begaz v'lo b'chashmal. You can't use gas or electricity. Mipnei shahadlakat shemen zayit hi mitzvah min hamuvchar. Because one is supposed to use olive oil, kimosha pasak harama, just like the Rama Rav Moshe Esterlis ruled. Okay, as we just saw, that's the first reason why you should use shemen zayit, and obviously they're not electricity. Number two, ve'od mikevan she'asuyim ein la'adik la'ir b'chol yimot hashana, ein bahem mishum pirsumei nisa, because we normally light all of our candles with electricity, it's not special for Hanukkah. And it should be special, unique, okay,
wait,
to publicize the miracle.
Electricity, then? I don't get it.
Well, this was written in the 80s. So they had this is modern times, this teshuvah.
Okay.
This is very modern, okay? וכאין מה שכתב הרמה אחר כך, שיזהרו שלא להגיד נר חנוכה במקום שמדליקים נרות תמיד בכל ימות השנה, שאז לא יהיה הקר כלל שנעשו לשם מצווה נר חנוכה. Just like we use different candles, we use different substance, material to light, we also put it in a different place. You shouldn't put it where you normally light your lamps or your candles, so that it could be unique and special for Hanukkah. Okay, and now Rav Avadia is going to push back against these two opinions. So if you look at 2a, Ulam ein dvarim ein dvarav muchrachim shafa bishishem and zayim mitzvah min avavchar mikom akarim kol shmanim kshayim v'ner Hanukkah. Even though it's good to use olive oil, it's said explicitly you could use any materials that you want. And 2b, v'gam tamashani ein muchrach klal, that's also not so clear. Bizman avotenu avot avotenu shaya kol tashmisham or nerot shemen yotzim dechov ha-mitzvah ner Hanukkah v'ner shemen. In the time of our sages, they always used olive oil during the year, and the Hanukkah was fine then. We don't need to change and use a different substance now just because we use electricity the rest of the year. And 2C, he says, ועוד שהרי בחנוכה שנעשית במיוחד הדלקה נר חנוכה לא שייך תם זה שיש הקר גמור בהדלקתה שנעשית לשם מצווה. Furthermore, we know when we're lighting a Hanukkah that's special for the mitzvah. No one thinks, oh, just randomly lighting a candelabra in their home. No, it's special for Hanukkah. We know this, so it has a special hekar, awareness. Ulam, number three, now he's going to bring in some of the answers that you gave. Ulam ha'emet nidna le'amer, she'yesh tam nachon omar she'en yotzim de'echov ha'mitzvah adlakan ne'or chanukah b'chanukah chashmalit. There's a very clear reason why you can't use electricity. V'midei she'en b'chanukiyah chashmai lo shemev lo betilah. There's no olive oil, there's no wick. V'hanes she'hit chesh v'minorot beit ha'mikdash. The miracle that happened in the beit ha'mikdash, hu b'shemen, that was with olive oil. They thought they could only light one day, but it worked for seven days after this, eight full days. Let's go to the next page. Okay. And therefore we see from this that one can use, that one should try to use olive oil to remember the miracle. And then he raises another objection. Umashakatav sham b'shem ha-gaon ha-ragachobi, okay, ragachava, Rabbi Yotzach Grozin. He was known as the Rugged Shaver Rebbe. Okay? Sounds like a choo-choo train. The Rugged Shaver, something like that. Anyway. Shenusach ha-bracha ladik ner shabbat o shalchanukah lo shayach ba'adakah chashmal shalitzichat kaftor enu besug madlik. So he has a discussion about lighting Shabbat candles. And he says, well, you have to, not only do you have to create a result of a candle that's lit, you also need a ma'aseh, an action of lighting, right? And flipping the switch is just not an action that's sufficient for lighting. In this case, he's talking about Shabbat candles, but the same thing would be true about Hanukkah candles. Pressing a switch, pressing a button, that's insufficient. It's not. That doesn't have an act of lighting as you have like by a candle, right? What do you think about that, Marley?
Well, I mean, physics-wise, like electricity doesn't involve
yeah,
this kind of, because when you make a spark, like even like very primitive electricity, if you're striking like two rocks together or something like that, is right. So it all comes from the same, like from a spark. So
we're gonna see this. Good, yeah, fair. We're gonna see this.
If you turn the bowl, that's an action.
Yeah. That's an action. Yeah. So.
But on Shabbat, you're not allowed to anywhere, right?
We're not talking about. Yeah. That would be.
But you don't light anything during Shabbat. You do it before Shabbat.
Okay, so let's see. We're going to see a source here called Hayam HaGadol, which is written by Rav Yaakov Moshe Toledano. Okay? Rav Yaakov Moshe Toledano lived from 1880 to 1960. He was the chief rabbi of Cairo,
wow,
Alexandria, and then Tel Aviv. Okay? And he became a minister of religious affairs in like late 1950s and 1960. He wrote Sheilot u'Tshuvot Yom HaGadol. He was a Moroccan rabbi. Okay, he was a big Mizrachnik. He was a very big Zionist, very big Tzioni. Okay, and he tried to get them together to build a create a Sanhedrin, right? To bring back the Sanhedrin. So he's asked this question, Nishalti, Im mutar la'dlik neror chonega benor chashmalit electric. This is right in the middle of page 2, this big source here. Are you allowed to use electric candles for Hanukkah? Okay. So let's go to the bottom. We're going to go to the bottom of this teshuvah. You see that little arrow that I put in? Mm-hmm. I just learned how to put in these little things on my Word docs. Okay, so I'm very excited about this. Okay, professional. Okay, so aval b'neirot hachashmal. So he deals with this question, just like the issue of is there an action of lighting when you press a switch. Aval b'neirot hachashmal ein b'hem adaka kim mini'im v'lo chatzim ata kaftor v'or yotzei. It seems like pressing a button to push on electricity is not an action of lighting. And we know there's a position by Chanukah that says hadlaka ose mitzvah. Okay, lighting is the act of lighting is what creates the mitzvah, as opposed to the hanacha, placing it in its location. It's the lighting itself. Okay? That's the core part of the mitzvah. Umitam ze paslin an hatam b'shabbat, kol achad hadlakat. This is why if a person like who's mentally unstable, okay, lights the Chanukah candles, that wouldn't count because they don't necessarily have the right intention. Okay, if a person is sick, mentally ill, whatever it is. Okay, v'ken perish haShulchan Aruch siman tafresh ayin hei seif gimel v'im ken gam ner hachashmal shu kvar kamus v'ganuz b'chutim hanimshachim imerkaz beit acharoshet. And therefore, because the electricity is really the circuit, always exists, and it's coming from, Morton, you could tell us more about this as a chemical engineer, how the circuits work. I have no idea how this stuff works. But, the circuit is always working. You're not really doing anything when you press the button.
Does this mean that you could use the light on Shabbat, according to him?
Okay, so let's see what he concludes here. Let's see how he concludes.
There are some,
but it's, but we're gonna see. Okay, we're gonna see. It's gonna okay. Varak, okay, okay. So he says this would seem to indicate that you may not use electricity. Okay, when we say that you have to. The lighting creates, that's the mitzvah itself of lighting. Dibru Bahoved, they're just telling you how they did it back then in the time of the Talmud. Nowadays, we light candles differently. We light differently. In the past, they always used a fire. So this is what you're saying. We have the circuit. This is how we create fire today, or electricity, tvikata kaftor mikri hadaka. Pressing the button, that should be hadaka. The haherahu haikar v'lo hadaka. It's about creating light, the result of creating light, not so much the action of lighting a candle. Okay, so that's the distinction he makes. And therefore he seems to conclude that this is permitted, that's not an issue. Lighting, pressing the button, he argues it's permitted. Okay, but he leaves it. He says, not so clear about this, and not so sure. Okay, and now we move on to Rabbi Yosef Mesas. Okay, now a little bit. Anybody know anything about Rabbi Yosef Mesas? Yes. Can anybody tell me a little bit about him? Not Jerusalem. That's Rabbi Shalom Mesas. If I'm not mistaken, that's his uncle. Okay, he's the uncle of Rabbi Shalom Mesas. Okay, Rabbi Yosef Mesas wrote over 40 books. Okay, he grew up in Mechnes in Morocco, but he's sent at a very young age to be the rabbi in Tlemcen, Nachon, in Algeria. Right? Tlemcen is in Algeria,
yeah.
Right? Nachon. So he's the rabbi in Algeria. He comes back to Morocco to be like the head dayan of the Supreme Court in, religious Supreme Court in the Moroccan Jewish community. He was a huge Talmid Chacham. He was also, Aaron can tell you, Aaron has his Haggadah, right? His Haggadah, he was... Right, you ordered it, right? He not only in his Haggadah does he have commentary, but he has drawings. So he was likes to write. He was a paitan. He wrote many piyutim, which we'll see in a little bit about Chanukah. He was really an ish eshkolot. He was a Renaissance man rabbi. Okay, he was an ish eshkolot. He wrote Shelot Teshuvot. He wrote Derashot. He has commentaries on Pirkei Avot. He really wrote on many areas of halacha. Okay. So he wrote one sefer called Ma'im Chaim. Okay, so it's, so Ma'im Chaim. And let's see how he rules on this particular issue. This is on the top right on page 3. Okay? Chanukah me'or, electricity. Okay? Me'or, electricity. This is the topic. Resh Ayin Tet. Siman Resh Ayin Tet. Now, and he later on in his life, he becomes a chief rabbi of, anyone know what city?
Haifa.
Nachon. Haifa. And this is in, I think he passed away in 1974, if I'm not mistaken. Okay? 1974. So this is this teshuvah comes from Moreno Rav Eliezer HaKohen. Okay, so she'ela. You see the she'elat yididi b'michtavecha na'im imutar la'asod neirot Chanukah me'or electricity. Can you make Chanukah from the electric lights? Teshuvah. The answer. Zayamim ra'iti b'kuntres taharat hashulchan. I saw once in a manuscript a book called Taharat Hashulchan al Shulchan Aruch shekatav zeh lashono. B'yameinu nitchadesh ma'or hagaz of electricity. In our days, we have this new thing called gas, lights, and electricity. V'tzarech iyun. We need further investigation. Im yotzei behem l'mitzvah Chanukah. Ad kan l'shono. So this first opinion, the Taharat HaShulchan, says, I'm not sure whether we could use this for Chanukah. It needs further investigation. So here swoops in Rabbi Yosef Meisatz, and he says, V'tzairani, layadati madua tzarechiyun. He says, I'm young, but I don't know why he left this as a question. V'lo yiyah heter pashut imishuma p'tilot. Halo kol p'tilot kasher l'ner Chanukah. What's the problem? All wicks are kasher for Chanukah. Afilu p'tilot she'en aor nitle behen yafeh. Even wicks that don't work so well. Where did we see that? We saw that in which opinion, which source? The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. There's no problem if the wicks are not so effective. V'kan, yesh chutei nechoshet toch hagavia. Here we have wicks of nechoshet, of copper, right? In the gavia, in the bulb, right? Those are wicks. They're like copper. They're electric wires. Okay? She'ornit lebehem yafe yafe. These actually work very well, these wicks, right? V'im came, and if so, lama yigru umi b'tilot beged bloy, she'ena ornit lebehem yafe. How are these worse than they used to use beged bloy, or like old, I don't know, washcloths, or shmatas, as you'd say in Yiddish. Okay? These are things, you could use that to light the Chanukah. Literally, you tearing old t-shirts, these shirts that, from, some seminar that you went to 20 years ago, you don't remember the people, you don't know where they are anymore. They used to be your best friends for 10 days when you went to Israel on that trip, but you don't know them anymore. So you use the strips of the bacon and you burn it. So if that's permitted, so why not use this? If it's because the miracle was created with oil, gamza eino, this is also doesn't matter. Sharei b'midinot Ashkenaz, the Ashkenazim, what do? Nahagula dikbinorot shava. They use mipnei she'oran salul kemo shemen. The Ashkenazim are using wax all these years. So you're going to, we have to use oil. The Ashkenazim are using wax. Okay, so one couldn't argue against that. You can make a case against that yes. Maybe it's good for the Ashkenazim if they want to have lower standards, but for the Sephardim, it's not permitted. Okay, fine. But he doesn't say this. Okay, nachon. Okay. But notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't indicate that, he doesn't suggest that the reason they're using wax is because of economic reasons. He seems to indicate they use it because it's clearer light, right? So, which I don't know, it's an interesting question. The light is the light of, I don't know, I wonder what the olive oil was like back in the day. Was it distilled? Was it, it could have been mixed with other ingredients and it wasn't as clear as candles. Okay, it is possible. Also, the candles they used then could have been made out of fat as opposed to wax. So maybe they were really, really good candles. Okay. At the very least, it needs, all that matters is that it's clear light. And electric light is clear, no problem. And that the candles are put on the windowsill. And it should be known that they are to publicize the miracle. In our case, you have no clearer light than electricity. This is perfect. And you could also put it on the windowsill. Gampo yesh hadaka v'kivui. And if you need the act of creating a light, so when you press the button, the kaftor, the switch, that's creating the light. That's the act. And because of this, you're not allowed to light this on Yom Tov and Shabbat, because that is a real action of lighting. Okay? And therefore, I think you can make a Chanukah with this. And if you want to cut the light after the light goes on, for a certain time, you could do that as well. And that would be the blowing out the candles. Okay? So according to him, this is certainly permitted. Okay? But then there's a more extensive dealing with this. Okay? So now this is a sefer called Mayim Chaim. But then he put together his own kuntres, his own booklet called Sefer Ner Mitzvah. Okay? Wait one second. Did I get that right? It's Ner Mitzvah? Yeah, Ner Mitzvah. Okay? In this, he collects all of his materials about Chanukah. And so he has a little bit more of an extensive discussion of this issue. So let's look at what he says in Sefer Ner Mitzvah. Okay, so a colleague of his writes to him and says, I just saw in a Sefer called the Kaf HaChayim that he totally prohibits lighting an electrical menorah. Now, who's the Kaf HaChayim? Anybody know who the author of the Kaf HaChayim was? The Kaf HaChayim is Rav Yaakov Chaim Sofer. He lives in Yerushalayim, originally a Baghdadi rabbi. He studied with two of the most prominent 19th century Baghdadi rabbis. Anyone know who they are? The Ben Ish Chai, Yafeh, and? Rav Yosef. He's the next generation. Rav Abdallah, Rav Ovadia Abdallah Somech. Okay, these are the two big gedolim of the Iraqi Jewry in the 19th century. Abdallah? He studies, Abdallah Ovadia. That's his Hebrew name is, is Ovadia. So he writes that it's totally prohibited. He ends up moving to Yerushalayim. He studies in Yeshivat Beit El. Has anyone been to the, you've been to the Old City, many of you, I'm sure, right? There's a yeshiva, the Kabbalistic yeshiva, Beit El, and it's like a beautiful door on it. It's right next to the big square in the Old City. It's right there. You could take a look. Sometimes you see people walking in. They're wearing all right on Shabbat. This is an older Kabbalistic yeshiva that's been in Yerushalayim for many years. My great-grandfather's Sidur, which he published in Yerushalayim in the 1890s, is based on many of the minhagim of Beit El. A rabbi there by the name of Rav Sharabi was the rabbi there. So it's, a little bit of a family connection to this yeshiva. Beit El. It's Yeshivat Beit El. It's in the Old City. Yeah. It's still there today. Okay, so he prohibits this. Totally prohibits this, and he writes a sefer called Kaf HaChayim, which is a very popular work of halacha for Sephardim. Okay, so now he's going to respond to this. Okay, and what's he going to say? So let's look. I want to just find specifically things that we didn't see in the previous Shabbat. Let's go to the next page. Let's go to page 4. Okay. We see on page 4, okay, Umasha Katav Od, you see Vav Memshin, those big words? So he's going to give you the rationale of the Kaf HaChayim, why it's prohibited, and then give his own explanation. Umasha Katav Od, Ja'or HaElectricity, Hu Below Tfisat Mamashit Mamashut. So the Kaf HaChayim said, like, using electricity is like, it's not, it like, exists as like a physical substance. It's like not, a real thing. It's not, a material. What do you, Morton, what do you think about this?
Neither is flame.
Neither is flame. Okay.
No, but oil.
Okay.
No, but it's like flame is burning.
It's not like burning anything real. So what would be a chemist's response to this?
What's missing from all of this is the fact that it's not the wick and it's not the oil that's burning. It's the vapor above the wick that's burning. And so it would seem to me that
the vapor above the wick is burning, like, well, the water. Really?
Yeah. So it would seem to me that you ought to be able to produce that substance. I mean, having a gas stream coming there, it seems to me, is functionally no different from having a liquid that's vaporizing, and it's the vapor that's burning.
Wow, that's very cool.
But for electricity, there's no vapor.
Sorry?
But electricity, the wire, there's no vapor.
Sure. Yeah, I'm not getting to the electricity.
The electricity is a different process.
If we're not, you know, we're not burning the liquid oil, we're not burning the solid wax. We're burning, you know, there's something else there that, you know, I think is missing from all those discussions.
So the wax, what causes the wax to melt is just the heat,
yeah.
Not the fact that it's not actually, that's not actually the flame.
That's right. It's the heat from the flame that causes the wax to melt.
But with electricity, there's no consumption. And with Hanukkah, there seems to be an idea of consuming something where there was something, oil, and then all of a sudden,
it's no longer there, yeah.
The film is in the bulb,
and it has to be a pre-existing condition that oil should be there before you light the candle. This is why with electricity, there's nothing before.
Oil.
Okay, it's interesting. Well, maybe we distinguish between an incandescent light, which does sort of burn down, versus an LED. I don't know how LEDs work. I just know like the protons and electrons are moving, and they last for a very long time. So it's almost like something is, you know, is not burning. So he responds, "Gam ze'eno ki b'lo chutei nechoshet lo ya'or nitla b'ashashit klal." He says, "Well, there is something burning. There's the copper wires in the bulb." Okay, sharei im yisaref rak echad me'achutin lo ta'ir klal. If one of them burns, burns out, doesn't burn anymore. Kemo ha'shemen shlo ya'ir b'lo petila, just like, you know, when it ceases to exist. V'im kein ikar tzliyat ha'or hu b'chutin. So the fire is in the strings of wire, of copper, in the bulb. V'hevei vadai kemo petila, and this is just like a wick. Where on earth does it say that you need something physical to be burning, right? It doesn't say that any of these svarim. Halo hayikarhu aor. All we need is the light, okay? Yeah, actually, it doesn't matter how the light is created. All you need is a light. Okay, so that's one example of an argument that he gives. Furthermore, he says further. Okay, so some of the arguments that we mentioned before. Ah, let's go to the next side, to the left side. Okay, so there's another concern by Hanukkah candles, that the light cannot be like an avuka. What's an avuka? Anybody know?
Avocado?
No, not avocado, but it's close. Avuka is like a torch, okay? We dafka want to have an avuka on Motzei Shabbat for Habdalah. Okay, two or more wicks together, but we don't have that for a Chanukah. So, for example, if you had all the wicks together creating like one big light, that would be a problem because you need each of the candles to be separate so that you know what day of Chanukah. 1 day, 2 days, 7 days, seven different candles, right? So the Kaf HaChaim said, well, this is like an avukah burning. This is like, I don't know, the electricity is like one big avukah. Okay, so what's his response here? His response is, okay, so he responds, no, this is not like an avuka. This is, it's closer to an evil candle. Okay, but now I want to get to the main piece here. And here, you see that little circle there? That's supposed to be a star, okay? I put in a star with my special new skills and using Microsoft Word. Va'od ani omer. This is the best part of the teshuvah, okay, the bottom left. What do you mean? The pashut ubaror she'im haya or electricity matzu bizman hamikdash. If electricity existed in the time of the temple, vaday shabo ayu madikim haMenorah. That's how we would have lit the candles in the Beit Hamikdash. Mishum she'i efshar adiot shenimtza batenu achulin burim gedolim shel or hachashmal hayakar. It's impossible that our homes are lit with such beautiful, luminescent light. And shehu me'en dugma shomala. It's like a trace of the heavens. Ubebayt Elokeinu Hakadosh Nadlik B'Shem Zayit, and in the temple we're going to use oil candles. Seriously,
this
is Rabbi Yosef Meisas. Okay, Shafilu Ha'aniim Hagrim O Asim Oto B'Zman Hazeh. Poor people, very poor people, hate oil candles today. Okay, so again, their oil may have been, I don't know, it may have been like a little bit less distilled, or you know, but. And obviously, we're going to use electricity in the future Beit HaMikdash. Okay?
But if electricity were used in the original Beit HaMikdash, then there may not have been Hanukkah at all, because need a technician to come and repair it.
That, yeah, but that would have taken 8 days at least, right? So, you know.
Your contractors, it would have taken
Israel,
6 months.
True, so, okay,
okay, so
how old is the 8 day story?
The 8 day story dates back, I mean, it's goes back to Chanukah is in the 160s BC, right? 160 BC.
We find it written in 160 BC, or is it hundreds of years later that it appears?
Okay, so the Talmud is the first source that mentions the 8 days, Chanukah, because they rested for 8 days. And the eight. Now, the miracle of the 8 days is not mentioned in Philo or Josephus or some of these earlier sources.
Or
the Book of Maccabees. That's what I meant. The Book of Maccabees also, it's not mentioned. It's only mentioned for the first time in the Talmud, okay, which raises some interesting questions. Okay,
It's interesting because that response seemed to be at a time where there was a lot of excitement for electricity. If you go to Grand Central Terminal, there were like chandelier where you put the bulb on invisible because they were so proud of it. Now we hide it because, you know, we're used to it. But before, in the beginning of electricity, you want to show
the bulb. Oh, interesting.
You want to show all the
interesting.
Bulb. And this is like very proud of it, you know.
Well,
so
okay, I hear that. I hear that.
It seems that it's like an old response by the electricity.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe we could be proud about, you know, lights that, you know, green technology, you know, or that type of stuff.
So again, okay. That's a good point. So again, we're just trying to see if there's a pattern of like wanting this flame to be special, whatever we're using.
Nahon. Correct.
More,
correct.
Better light.
Correct. Okay, so it goes through this whole discussion. Maybe it's more visible, it's more, you know, present. God's presence is more visible if you're using the Shemen Zayit. Okay, nonetheless, he disagrees with this position in the end. And he says ultimately that if we were in the Beit HaMikdash today, we would use electricity in the Beit HaMikdash. Okay,
that's a very
it's a bold statement. Nachon,
more than Shemen Zayit.
Nachon, and he's a bold posek. Nachon. About the Ner Tamid. So the Ner Tamid was also that used Shemen Zayit. Okay, and that's the point that the miracle was based on that, right? The, you know, was based on the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash. You know, so it's modeled off of it. So just like that was olive oil, you know, many suggest, hey, this should also be olive oil, but he says it's not really a strong argument to be made. And lefi halacha, you could use any shmanim. All the more so, we should use the most beautiful light, which is, you know, electric.
So
light,
what he's saying, and that can be comforting for some patients or hospitalized. That can be comforting. Say, well, according to this rabbi, this is actually what they would do now.
Yes. Now, so Chacham Uvadia ruled against it. Okay. Ultimately, Uvadia rules against it that one should not use chashmal. You shouldn't, and if you have to use it, you should not make a bracha on it. But he clearly rules that you can make a bracha on it. Okay. Does anyone follow him? Not that I know of, but for those who follow Moroccan Poskim, there are some people in our Beit Knesset, you know, this is a reasonable opinion to follow if someone wants to do. Say again, what?
I wonder if the Misas family
follows. That'd be interesting. I mean, yeah, it'd be very interesting. You know, I think where it would come up is, you know, let's say you're lighting a huge electrical menorah, I don't know, on campus somewhere, or in a park, or in a square in the city, you know, would you make a bracha on that or not?
Right.
You know, or you're not allowed to.
We do it all the time, right? For decoration.
Saying, is that electric?
No,
it's electric.
But they use a gas.
Oh, so that's gas.
They have little mini gas.
Gas was a little bit of a question, but it seems like gas is less of a problem. It's more standard of a, you know, burden.
They make the
bracha
in public.
Okay, so now that's the first part of the shiur. And now I want to move to something a little bit more theological. Because connected to this, he's asked, let's go to page 5. Okay? He's asked the following question. Okay? So the question he's posed is on the top right. The question that he's posed is from their mitzvah. He's quoted the following question by another rabbi. He says, you know, we have all this wisdom. Okay? He said, God gave great wisdom to Bezalel, who created the Mishkan. He brought the Moshe Ish Elohim.
V'gal ha-melech Shlomo, all our great sages were given this wisdom. Ad shnemar lav, v'yesh Hashem al kisei Hashem. V'neim kin madua v'lama mana mehem Hashem chochmat electricity. Why did God not give electricity, bestow the light of electricity upon the wisdom of electricity to Bezalel, Moshe Rabbeinu, Shlomo HaMelech? Why were they not given this wisdom? Why was it only given to us?
But Yechezkel maybe had it.
Maybe Yechezkel, if Chashmal is electricity. Okay? If it is. But even then, they weren't able to use it or manipulate it, right? Or harness it. It was just flashes of light of some sort.
It's a very interesting question. Since he says that on the Beit HaMikdash, if they had it, they would use it. We would use it now.
Nachon. V'hinei im kein madua v'lama mana mehem Hashem chokhmat electricity shebo yu me'irim et beit elokin. We could have used it for the Beit HaMikdash. O memalim ota ora v'simcha yoter v'yoter elef alfei alafim yadot me'or Hashemen. It brings so much more light, luminescence than oil. Asher oru ma'us b'dorot halalu af etel haniim b'ayim v'yonim. Today no one likes olive oil. Hapchutim v'hagruim atmatuva v'katav. Okay. Yeah.
I don't understand this question. I don't understand why before. Why did we invent flash drive? We would have saved the entire Gemara from burning and I mean, it's why using back in time?
I mean, now we actually like the olive oil. It's beautiful.
Yeah, now
we're why do we go back in? What's the argument what the technology wasn't around? We would have avoided.
We have to make room for the revolution. Yeah, I think it's a larger question, essentially, maybe how are we supposed to respond to technological scientific advancement,
right.
No, but the time where, inventions, breakthrough has mm-hmm. nothing to do with Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's...
Right. Maybe others would disagree.
Hmm. Well, that's a very good point, but let's see what he's going to say. Yeah, Aaron, what do you think?
You could apply his answer to everything else that you just why didn't God just create the world in the perfect state of existence with everything 100%, as opposed to developing it more basic.
But I think there's also an assumption that Moshe and Bezalel, that they should have been given this because they were our greatest sages, right?
Why?
So they should have been.
But it's not always better, and olive oil smells good.
Okay, so it's a fair question.
You can't go back in time, though. Mm-hmm. I don't know why are we examining why we don't have what we have now then. Why?
This is the question he was posed.
I mean, look at this apartment. We like to have a fireplace, right?
But to what means that in a thousand years, we're not going to be we are going to be lighting the Chanukiah with electricity, because in a thousand years we'll have something so much better than electricity.
Right.
That electricity is going to be the new hipster, old, special thing that people are going to use. So.
Right.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Okay, so let's go to the top left, Teshuvah.
Why we didn't have nuclear weapons then? I mean, same concept.
Okay, so he's going to address some of these questions, and that's why I thought it was interesting to bring this in. Teshuvah. So he's going to give basically, five different answers. We're not going to look at all of them. We'll just look at two of them. And maybe as our chemist here, we'll be able to respond to the first one, because the first one is really out there. Okay, so the first answer he gives is, okay. So teshuvah, da yididi ki chagir gdola chakarta, v'achar hitbodenut, nir'eh lekotzer da'ati, lahashiv al zeh chamesh teshuvot. Ha'achat hi bederach epsheri karov. Kinei davar yadua. He says all of the wisdom, all of the power in nature is actually found in the atmosphere. Okay, or found in the air. Koach ha'avir. It's found within the atmosphere, the air. She'asa ha'barei b'chochmatom. It's inherent, okay? Hazer iti b'achad ha'sfarim. Shapirish Ma'amar Shmuel. Okay, I saw in one sefer that explained the comment of Shmuel. Hakol beruach, ta'hinu hakol talui ba'avir. Everything is in the atmosphere. Okay, v'gam ani tzair perashti b'chan midrashei hakatuv, and I also explained one of these psukim. Osim alachav ruchot meshartav esh lohet. So God, some of His milachim, His messengers, His angels, osim alachav ruchot, they make wind meshartav esh lohet. They're like they're servants of fire. So he interprets this to mean, Shehem kol ha-chokhmot ha-tluyim ba-avir. This is all the wisdom that is found in the air or the atmosphere. Im esh lohet, shel electricity. Esh lohet, That's electricity. That's the chashmal of Yechezkel. It's in the air. Shekulam malachei Hashem u'mushartei osei dvarim ba'olam ha'shafel. These are the angels, the messengers of God. Okay, electricity, he's basically saying electricity is the messenger of God, okay? And, I mean, you can interpret this in a, you know, rationalistic sense, that these are, you know, qualities in existence that God created, and it's part of the universe, part of the make of the universe, and they are fulfilling God's will when you know, we're able to harness them. Okay, so that's the first answer that he gives. Let's go to the second answer, Hata'am Hasheni. Okay, this is on the bottom of the on the left side. Hatam Hashenihi, then this is sort of interesting, relating to current times. Hatam Hashenihi kinei yidua mefursam. Matzav b'nei hadam b'dorot kedumim. Shekol ha-malchiyot hayu oskim merak b'milchamot gedolot v'nara'ot. In the past, all they were doing was fighting wars. The Middle Ages. Ancient times, right?
Well, we still
they
are.
Were, well, yeah, we, well no, we're not
ISIS
quite.
And Iran. Yes,
yeah,
are.
Yeah. We okay. So it was. He's saying it was much worse back then.
Well,
okay.
It was after the Shoah. Right?
Beshetav. I know. That's why I'm. Shoah. We're gonna get there. Beshetav chamav achzur nora. There was terrible. I mean, you know, cruelty. You ever seen the movie Braveheart? Yeah, that's what he's talking about. Okay.
Did you know.
Yoter mechay toteref. Well, yeah, I have. Okay. Yoter mechay toteref. It's worse than, you know, beasts ripping people up. Vayu tamid misuch sachim goy begoy mamalachai. You know, different nations are fighting against each other, attacking, pillaging, killing. Kasher yadua kol ze b'sifrei ha-historia. As we read in history books, I guess he read history. V'ineinu na'ra'ot. Shekol ha-chachmot shel ze hazman einam tovim la'olam l'chol yoshevea ela b'itot shalom. We see that all of this wisdom is good in times of peace. But in times of war, basically what he's saying is that maybe God didn't give them all of these powers then, this knowledge then, because they would have used it for war. They would use it to destroy the world. Whereas now, in times of peace, we have the ability, God gave us these abilities, this knowledge, this wisdom, so that we, because it's times of peace, and we could use it for good use and not for bad use. Okay, so I agree with you that there's, you know, we've used, I mean, this was the big question. I remember when they were building, I don't remember. I remember reading about when they built the A-bomb, right? There was a huge moral discussion. Should they really be doing this or not? Right?
But also, like, so,
yeah.
History teacher.
Yeah.
So the A-bomb was, like, there was a lot of discussion with morality, but there was also discussion of, like, this is going to be a weapon that was going to bring peace, right? Because it's going to be the weapon to end all weapons, and if you have it, then it's going to bring peace. And so, like, contextually speaking, I'm only laughing because if my students heard me right now, they would just die. But
yeah.
The time at which this is being written, I think there was, like, this sense of, like, you know, the Holocaust happened, and there was this sense of, like, there's nowhere to go but up from here, and so it couldn't
get
worse, and so now there's just going to be, like, some sense of calm, and so therefore, you know, things...
So I wonder if this was written, I mean, it'd be strange if this was written right after the Holocaust, or after World War I, for that matter, too. Maybe this was written before... I doubt, I have to check the year on this.
But there's not only the Holocaust, like, there... Jews have been expelled and, like, killed before.
From any historical perspective, when would anyone ever say we're living in such a wonderful time of peace?
I mean, well, actually, after Six Day War, I think one of the reasons why the Yom Kippur War happened was because there was this, like, manifestation of arrogance derived from the success of the Six Day War. Like, how could it be possible that all the Arab countries are going to attack us one more time when they saw that we defeated all of them in less than a week, and it still happened? And so I think that, like, periodically, maybe.
Yeah. Well, you still have to look at this in historical perspective.
It's not dated.
You know that I don't know the date on this. I got to check when it was published. Ner Mitzvah. Then, at the end of the day, we are living in some ways in peaceful times. The quality of people's lives. No, there are terrible things going on. There's no doubt about it. But the fact that the planet has 7 billion people, you know, there are much fewer people because they were being killed off and they couldn't live and they're unhealthy, unsanitary conditions. So. It's an interesting thing to think about, but how this wisdom can be used for positive, but also for negative, and that's really what we're seeing. We're seeing this today.
It's not an illusion.
It's not an illusion.
It's always been true that technology has been used for good and for bad.
Correct.
And the atomic energy thing really focused it.
Yeah.
But it's not a new thing.
Correct. Yeah. Say again? That would be really interesting if you wrote this right in 1939.
I don't know how you
could.
It's possible.
So
I don't know how you could.
That's what you got, 1939? I'm not sure. I think he was still in Morocco.
I don't know how you could write that after the Shoah.
Yeah, I don't know if you could write this after the Shoah. Agreed. Okay. So, listen, peace in our time, right? That's what they thought. So this is maybe right around that time. Okay, anyway, on the bottom here, we're not going to read it, but there's a discussion. What if you do you light in the Beit Knesset if you don't have Minyan every single day? Right? We light the Chanukiah usually before Arvit, between Mincha and Arvit. The answer is yes. Light whenever you do have Minyan, which is what we'll do in our Beit Knesset, on Motei Shabbat and on Friday afternoon.
Light okay. Only when you have a Minyan.
Yeah, yeah. When the Beit Knesset meets, so you light even if you're not lighting every night.
At the time of the Minyan.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So what I understand from the history of Hanukkah, how it became a holiday, the reason why it's a minor holiday is because the rabbis, no offense, but that the rabbis were nervous about the fact that it was basically a bunch of Jews who took matters into their own hands and made things happen, and that they were concerned that Jews would no longer require the spiritual go-ahead or the guidance of the rabbis, and so the rabbis decided they're not going to declare this to be a major religious holiday, which is why it's a minor holiday. So why?
Okay, so it's a whole topic for discussion.
No, I know, but why does it matter if you need a minyan or not?
Oh, okay. It's
that's what I'm asking.
Okay, so it's a another discussion. It's a really important point, and I should address it at some point. That question of Hanukkah contains all of the fault lines within the Jewish community today. Should we fight for our existence? Should we be passive? Should we, is Jewish independence valuable? Is it not valuable, right? Natural miracles versus supernatural miracles. We're going to for another discussion, okay?
Sorry.
Now, on page 6, you could read this in your own time. I couldn't believe this when I found it. Rav David Shalush, who was the chief rabbi of Netanya, writes to Rabbi Yosef Mesas. Yeah, Rav David Shalush.
His grandson is a rabbi here.
Yes, correct. In 34,
his great-granddaughter is in my daughter's class.
Ah, yafemor. Okay. So he just passed away about 2 years ago. If you remember, I gave a shiur about how do you keep zmanei tefillah in space? That was a question for an astronaut that we discussed, because you keep rotating about the Earth.
Practical
now,
halacha.
In this, very practical halacha. Okay? Now, in this source, he was asked to apply to be the chief rabbi, the Sephardi chief rabbi, after Rav Uziel. He declined. He did not want to apply. He said, that's not my thing. And he declined to apply, even though Rav David Shalush was a big Tamid Chacham in his own right, writes to him to become chief rabbi.
That's about Uziel here.
Yeah, Uziel just passed away. And they wrote to Rabbi Yosef Mesas, why don't you apply to become the next chief rabbi? And he didn't want to. Okay, so we see how tsanua he was from this case. Okay, let's go to pages, last 2 pages. Okay, and here we have some of the customs of Morocco. Now, we think about Chanukah like, okay, maybe you start preparing a few days before, maybe Shloshim Yom Lifnei Achag, maybe a few days. They started preparing for Chanukah in the month of Tishrei. Okay, right around the time when they're getting ready for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, they're already preparing for Chanukah. Let's read about this a little bit. Okay, someone asked him to share some of his memories of what it was like to celebrate Chanukah in Mechnes. So this is what he does. And he goes through in tremendous detail. They prepare the meat and the wine, the songs they used to sing. Let's read a little bit about this. Okay? So HaHachanot, we're on page Kuf Lamed Aleph, on the right side. Paragraph HaHachanot L'Chanukah. Hayu Matzchidim Be'eretz Meladati Eitel Ashirei Am Nidivei Halev. The very wealthy people of the community would start preparing in Mechodesh Elul. Sorry, Chodesh Elul, before Tishrei. In the summer, asher bo ayu memalim chaviot shel cheres gedolot begizrei basar metuganim b'shemen zayit zach. They would take huge chunks of meat, soaked in oil, and put them into barrels, okay, to soak and soften and to age. Shekorin ba'aravit al chalia, okay. Shechodesh elul hu ayah hazman b'Morocco. No. That's the name of this meat. Okay, Shachodesh Elul, who it must have been very oily meat. Shachodesh Elul haya hazman b'Morocco, shabasar merubah v'amechir namuch harbeh. This is when meat was cheap in Morocco.
Sorry, but we have to just You know the stereotype of the Jews from Meknes.
Yeah.
They're the cheapest Moroccans. The whole Moroccans. So you know the fact he talks about the you know the meat being cheap in the summer.
That's very funny. That's very funny. Okay, good. That's very helpful to know. Okay. והמחיר הנמוך הרבה לכל אחד מהנדיבים היו ממלא שתי חביות גדולות והמחלים יותר מ-200 קילו בשר. Each of these wealthy people would fill 200 barrel, 200 kilos worth of meat. A lot of meat. Okay. אחד לכל בני הבית לימות החורף. One was for the winter, generally for the winter. שברובם אין השבר מצוי כלל אף בשבתות. ואחת שמורה לימי חנוכה לחלק לעניים. One was for the winter months. One was specifically for poor people during Hanukkah. Wow. Okay, really beautiful custom. They would give out to the Talmidei Chachamim and all the poor people. They would also create wine. Okay, and he tells you exactly how they created wine. Now skip to the next page, Kuf Lamed Bet, because what they would do, they would ask people to come and help to step on the druch al ha'anavim. Okay, they'd clean their feet, of course. It would be an honor to come and step on the grapes. Okay? And how would they encourage people to come? Would they send them WhatsApp messages? Would they send them an invitation? How would they do this? Call them on the phone. So we're like six lines down on Kuf Lamed Bet on the top. Ulaman izminat anashim bekal, la'amor al hakorot, asu hazmanot b'charuzim u'negiot yafeh. They would write poems. They would recite poems to welcome them to come, step on the wine. V'zeh rishon asher matzati zeh shnayim rabot l'mar Dodi Harav Gaon David Masas. Okay, so this one was from David Masas. Niftar, da da da. Bo b'nei Torah, come, scholars of Torah, kulchem b'chevra, together as a group, la'amor ala korah, to stand on the board. The board presses on the wine press. V'hotzi chamra, to bring out wine. L'kiddush v'havdala, for kiddush, to welcome the Shabbat, for havdalah. V'li mitzvat milah, and also for brit milah. Ulachnasat kala, for weddings. Ulidelo yada b'megillah. And also, to read the Megillah, to get drunk on Megillah. Okay, so you see, and then there's one that's in Targum, in Arabic. V'gamani charazti. Then on the next paragraph, V'gamani ha'ani. I also wrote one of these charuzim, one of these little poems. Charazti yadzeh ba'aseret yimei teshuvah. He wrote this during aseret yimei teshuvah. Bo achi mitnadvim. Liot al karot nitzavim, come, my generous friends, okay, and to stand on these karot, lahamshich et dam hanavim, to get the water, the wine, the grape juice to flow, lemale yain mi kavim, to fill up the wine from the vines, levarech shochein kruvim, to bless. He, the God who Shochein Kruvim, is a title for God. Shabbatot v'yamim tovim on Shabbat, yamim tovim, u'milat orlot te'uvim, and for brit milah, u'v'pidyon yamim ketuvim for pidyon haben, u'v'chupat re'im ahuvim, and when people get married, u'v'kos birchat ha'misubim, v'chiluk yayin l'rabim, aniim dalim te'evim, b'chanukat ha'makabim. Also to give out wine to poor people during Chanukah. U'v'dolo yadab merivim, ha'mereim ha'mitivim, Amen. Okay, so they're making the wine for the whole year. In particular, they would give out the wine on Chanukah to all of the poor people. There's a second one, Rabbi Shalom Esas, in the next paragraph.
No,
I think it was for Jews.
So I don't think the Muslim would take the wine anyway. It's in Morocco.
Yeah. Okay, you're right. But then, why do they say poor? Why do they talk like that?
Why poor people? Because poor people couldn't afford wine. It was helping them out, right? It was as tzedakah. Right, so that they could celebrate and enjoy the holiday. Okay, go to the left side, Kuf Lamed Bet. Then he explains as they got closer to the Chag, okay, what they did. So, for example, already from the 15th of the month, all the yeshivot, but they say for were like in the bottom left here. B'tetvav v'chodesh kislev, kol yeshivot b'tei sefer, kol ba'alei batim akfuim mitim atorah, b'chol laila yulamtim alachot Chanukah. They would study Hochor Chanukah for already 10 days before Chanukah started. All the children would do this as well, okay? All the women in the next paragraph would clean their homes like Pesach. They would clean their homes like Pesach for Chanukah, okay? And then the bottom paragraph on the Kuf Lamed Bet on the bottom here, Erev Chanukah yu kol achaniyot mutarat b'chol minei perot rananim. They would put up fruit, decorate all the stores with fruit. Kol hakal konim ish ish kechol avat nafsho
buy all these fruit. Why? They would need this for the couscous with all the meat, the saturated meat. Let's go to the next page. This is how they would all cook. They would all have couscous. Okay? And then they would give out the meat. They would go to all the different homes and give out the meat to all the different people. And this way everyone would have meat in the entire community. Okay? 1 second. And they would sing shirim. Okay, so you see some of the shirim here. Some of the songs that they would write. Okay, so a number of different songs, and then 1 second. Let's go to v'chol balei abatim, the breakfast. What would they do on breakfast for all of Chanukah? Okay, and with this we will conclude. V'chol balei abatim. This is kuf lamed gimel. Okay. V'chol balei abatim ochlim arachel boker kol shmonat hayamim besufganim im devash. Every morning on Chanukah they would eat sufganiyot with honey. Yesh nashim yodot lasutam. Some of the women knew how to make them. Umisha'en ishto yodat konem achaniyot haniptachot arbei bimei Chanukah. They would buy from the stores if their wives couldn't. Me'anashim balei miktzoa zeh v'nimtza le'a lachatz gadol tamim merov hakonim shim yiladim. Everyone was pushing to get the donuts, the fresh donuts for the morning. People would send to their family members. It sounds like Chanukah is actually becoming like Purim, sending like mishloach manot, matanot levyonim. Okay.
You share the cookies.
Yeah. Ubechol boker ayin or ek futzor putzor nairim unarim meshartim meshartot haloch v'shuv barachovot kiryayim tzlachot ugdolot shal nechoshim memerat menayot sufganiyot uvetocham kearot ktanot mezuchot menayot dvash. You'd see people walking around with trays of sufganiyot and honey. It reminds me in Turkey in the bazaar, right? You see them holding cups of tea, things of tea and with a little bit of sugar. And so a similar type of thing. Everyone would be walking around with sufganiyot. Okay? Im bakbukei chalav yayin, with wine and with milk, la'arachot haboker. Gam haya minhag pashut etolko balei batim lasot mishteh gadol. They would make a big mishteh, a big feast. They would do once over Chanukah. They make a huge feast for all of their family members. During the day or night, couscous, and of course they have couscous. You can't have not have couscous. They would sing songs. Okay, so we see how Chanukah and Machnes was morphed into really like Purim, but for 8 days with sufganiyot, this meat that they would prepare for this all year long, waiting for Chanukah. So it was really a beautiful.
Is there any meaning in the sufganiyot actually?
Well, the oil and sufganiyot.
And
a lot of
all the oil.
I mean, it's Chanukah every day in Tunisia, I guess.
It's also a Sephardic term. It's not only an Ashkenazi.
Is it? Yeah.
Right. He's using it like
that.
Which one?
The
sufganiyot
is apparently
also
Sfardi.
Sfinch.
Sfinch.
Sfinch. Sfinch. Sfinch. Sfinch. Oh, we call
Sfinch.
Boom Willows
Sfinch.
In my family.
Wait, who uses the term Sfinch?
Sfinch. Sfinch. North Africans.
That's how North Africans?
Yeah, it's not with jelly.
Yeah, that's
right. With sufganiyot. Interesting. Well, he uses sufganiyot here.
He's used over
sufganim. Im devash. So just to summarize, we've seen, we studied a few different aspects of Rabbi Yosef Meisas and Chanukah. We started with the halachic question, can you use electrical menorahs? Rabbi Chacham Ovadia is against it. Rabbi Yosef Meisas is all for it. And Bezrat Hashem, when we build the Beit HaMikdash, we'll use electrical electrical menorah.
Only Moroccans build it.
Second, what?
Sacrifices with electricity.
That's right.
Wi-Fi connectors on.
That's right. And then we saw some of his theological views about why they didn't have this wisdom then, but we have it now. And then we finally concluded with seeing some of how Chanukah, what it looked like, what it felt like, what it tasted like, and smelled like in Mechnes during his time. So it's really an amazing recollection that he shares with us here. And Bezrat Hashem, our Chanukah should be as illuminate as much as it did for the Jews in Mechnei. So start preparing. I mean, we're already, we're lost time. They started in Elul, and it's already, Kaf Slave. So, Chazak Uvaruch, thank you again, Brigitte, for hosting, and to Ari in Abstentia.
We have to conclude with a Meknesi joke, I guess.
Yeah, what do you got? You have one?
So it's Meknesi, he's the... Am I recorded here?
Yeah.
he's lost and is like, on a raft, like in the middle of, and the reputation that Meknesi have, they're pretty stingy, right? So he's lost, like one day, day one, day three, nobody comes. And then all of a sudden they see a ship coming from far away, and it's the ship from the Red Cross. And the guy comes near him, is like, hey, I'm here for the Red Cross. And Meknesi says, hey, I already donated.
That's right.